إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you in the class. This is the fourth class, class number four, الدرس الرابع من دروس شرح الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة, the explanation of important lessons for all Muslims by our beloved Shaykh العلامة الإمام الشيخ عبد العزيز ابن باز رحمه الله تعالى. This book has different sections, has tafsir, has tawheed and aqeedah, has fiqh of salat, tahara, zakat, fasting, hajj, and also a section for manners and good etiquettes. So we're in a section where we're learning about the aqeedah, the tawheed, and the creed. And we're still talking about the statement La ilaha illallah. In the previous class yesterday, we talked about the last thing we mentioned is the virtue or the virtues of La ilaha illallah. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we continue by elaborating on this point. There are two pillars of La ilaha illallah. His statement La ilaha illallah has pillars and has conditions. It has two pillars. The first pillar involves a negation by La ilaha. In Arabic it's called An-Nafi. An-Nafi. Negation, an-nafi. What does it negate? Because the statement of La ilaha illallah contains two parts. The first part, La ilaha, and this is the negation, an-nafi. The second part, illallah, illallah. La ilaha illallah. So the first part, La ilaha, involves a negation. What that mean? This is a statement that does away with all forms of shirk and necessitates disbelief in all that is worshipped other than Allah Almighty. That's where in English we say there is no deity worthy of worship. That's La ilaha. There is no deity worthy of worship. But we don't stop here. We have to say illallah. You can't just say there is no deity worthy of worship. That's very bad. Now we say except Allah. That's when the other part comes. Illallah. So the second part of La ilaha illallah, which is illallah, involves an affirmation. In Arabic they call it al-ithbat. 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 So عندنا النفي والإثبات. So we have النفي, which is negation, and that's in La ilaha. And عندنا الإثبات, affirmation, and that's in the second part, illallah. So together is La ilaha illallah. لا بد من نفي وإثبات. It's a must that you say these two together. You cannot just say لا إله and you be quiet. And you cannot just say إلا الله. That's why you see in the Adhan, they say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. The Muaddin have to say that. The Muaddin is the person who called the Adhan. The Muaddin cannot just say أشهد أن لا إله and he be quiet. No, that's wrong. We tell him, أخي, this is not how the Adhan is called. That's wrong. And also the Muaddin cannot just say Ashhadu illa Allah. Ashhadu illa Allah. You're going to say La la la. Laysa hakada. Not like this. And also if a person wants to be Muslim and he just say Ashhadu an la ilaha, we told him no, you have to complete. You gotta say illa Allah with it. Okay? That's very important. So these are the two pillars of La ilaha illallah. An-nafi wal-ithbat. Negation and affirmation. Jazakallah khairan, Idris, mashallah. You taking notes? Alhamdulillah. Doctor notes. Tayyib. And there is proofs to this. There are proofs from the Quran. Shaykh, he mentioned ayats. He says both of these pillars are present in the following verse. Verse 256 in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, ayah number 256. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Whoever disbelieves in Taghut, false deities, false gods, and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. The first pillar, which is a nafi, negation, it is found in the first part of this ayah. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. Whosoever disbelieves in طَاغُوت, false deities, that's لا إله. And the second pillar, وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and believes in Allah. See? Because the person disbelieves in all false gods and deities and believes only in Allah. So he negates the right for worship from all false deities and affirm it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another verse, Allah Almighty says in Surah Az-Zukhruf, that's chapter 43, the two ayats, 26 and 27. إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. And this is what Ibrahim a.s. said to his people. Because his people, they used to worship idols. So when he called them, and they continued to worship the idols, he said to them, Verily I am innocent of what you worship. Innocent meaning I have nothing to do with that. I'm not with you. In another terms, I'm not with you on that. I'm not doing what you're doing. I'm not worshiping what you worship. Verily I am innocent of what you worship, except him who did create me. And verily he will guide me. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse, all these two verses have the negation. What is the negation, Muhammad Amin, in this verse? أحسنت. Verily I am innocent of what you worship. Meaning I got nothing to do. I negate and reject all what you worship. And where is the affirmation? Except the one, إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Except the one who did create me. So Ibrahim, he didn't say to them, listen, I don't worship anything. See? No. He said, I don't worship your gods. Because they don't deserve to be worshipped. They are not true gods. There is only one God. So if a person say, I don't worship anything, that's no good. That's very bad. Okay? But a person should negate the false gods and affirm the worship only for the true God who deserves to be worshipped, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Right, Idris? Aye. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, and this Shaykh is one of the great scholars of Islam. He was born in Saudi Arabia some 20 years ago. He was a great scholar. He called the people to Tawheed, to the correct Aqeedah, to apply the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to hold on firm to what the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were upon. In his time, this great Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, a lot of people, they say they Muslims by their tongue, by claim, but they don't practice the Tawheed of Allah. They do a lot of things that are not good. They worship other than Allah. They make dua, they slaughter, and they turn to dead people in their graves and the like. That's shirk. And call them and ask them for assistance and for help. And that's a major shirk. But this Shaykh, rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Allah sent him, alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mah from Allah. After studying, of course, he didn't just begin to call the people without knowledge. No, he went and spent many years studying. He went everywhere, almost everywhere. And Allah grant him success, alhamdulillah, and he was a good da'i, a caller. And he began to call the people to Tawheed, Islamic monotheism, and telling them that you're calling upon trees, rocks, dead people. Those dead people cannot even benefit themselves. How are they going to benefit you? These dead people cannot hear you. And as Allah says in the Quran, and even if they hear you, they are not going to be able. They don't hear, but Allah says to the mushrikeen, and even if those people in the graves can hear you, they're not going to be able to do anything to you. Allah, He's the one who helps, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you ask Allah. If Allah wants something for you, you get it. If Allah didn't want something for you, you can ask everybody on earth, still don't get it. So Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, to bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam means to obey him in what he ordered. Because now, after we give these two pillars and the meaning of La ilaha illallah, now we're going to talk about the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The meaning of Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because, like once again, the Shahadatain, the first pillar of Islam, التي say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. You bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and a messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now the meaning of محمد رسول الله. Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى says it means to bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, means it means to obey him in what he orders, to believe him in what he informs, to stay away from that which he forbids, and to worship Allah only in a way that are legislated in Islam, only by that which the Prophet left for us and brought for us. In Arabic, this definition says ta'atuhu fima amar. The meaning of Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ta'atuhu fima amar, to obey him in what he orders. Wa tasdiquhu fima akhbar, and to believe him in what he informs. Everything he informs us, you believe. Even things you don't understand and you never seen and with your eyes, you believe, because he is a messenger of Allah. He doesn't lie. He doesn't just say stuff like certain people, they just sit down and keep talking and say stuff. The Prophet ﷺ, he speaks by way of revelation. Because Allah tells us in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, Surah Al-Najm. This man, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, does not speak out of his desires. It's all revelation from Allah. قُلْنَا طَاعَتُهُ فِيمَا أَمَرْ وَتَصْدِيقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرْ وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا نَهَىٰ عَنْهُ وَزَجَرْ, to stay away from that which he forbids. وَأَلَّا يُعْبَدَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ, and to worship Allah only in a way that is legislated to us in Islam by following that which the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم left for us. Keep in mind now that, and this is a very important point, that when we obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are in fact obeying Allah. This is a very important point. When we obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are in fact obeying Allah. And here is the proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you. Verse 31 in Surah Ali Imran. Verse 31 in Surah Ali Imran. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, say, obey Allah and the Messenger. This is also Surah Ali Imran, verse 32. What does this mean, obey the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم? It means that we must believe. We must. It's not just a choice whether we do it or not. We must believe what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us about regarding the past and the future, and regarding the unseen. And we should obey and follow him when he orders us, staying away from that which he forbids. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned to us things that happened hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. He mentioned things, only Allah knows how many years those things happened. But we believe because he speaks by the way of revelation from Allah. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't bring stories. He didn't read stories of people. No, Prophet ﷺ, he speaks the truth from Allah because he's a messenger of Allah. Also, the Prophet ﷺ, he tells us about things that will happen. When is going to happen? Allahu A'lam. He even tells us about the Day of Judgment. He gives us a description of the Jannah, the trees of the Jannah, the rivers of the Jannah, the houses of the Jannah, the women of the Jannah, the food and the fruits of the Jannah, the birds of the Jannah, and many things. Nobody was in the Jannah. To say no, it's not like that. But him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks out of the revelation. Allah revealed to him. Likewise, he brings us the information of the hellfire, whether in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Prophet ﷺ described to us in details what the hellfire is, the punishment of the hellfire, the people of the hellfire, the food of the people in the hellfire. May Allah save us and you from it. Ameen. So we must believe what the Messenger of Allah ﷺ informed us about regarding the past and the future. And regarding the unseen, he talks to us about the angels. We don't see the angels. Talk to us about the Day of Judgment, the Sirat, the Mizan. He talked to us about the jinn. A lot of things we don't see. The punishment of the grave, nobody sees that. And we should obey and follow him when he orders us, staying away from that which he forbids. And why are we doing that? Because Allah tells us this. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatsoever the messenger gives you, take it. Act upon it. To the best of your ability, of course. As the Prophet ﷺ is going to say when we read to you the hadith. And whatsoever he forbids, abstain from it. Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59, in the Mus'haf, ayah number 7. The Prophet ﷺ said, ما أمرتكم من أمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم وما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه. Whatever matters I have commanded you in, perform them what you are able, to the best of your ability. Try your best. Some people, they just lazy, they don't want to do anything. No, you got to try. And if you cannot do it, then do what you can. Do what you can. And any matter that I have forbidden you from, stay away from it. See, the things we are commanded to do, we try our best to do them. But if we become too heavy for us and too difficult, then we do what we can. But the things, that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he says, do as you can. Do them as you can. If you can. But you got to try. Somebody just sit there and say, I can't do it. Unless if something is really, you can see that you cannot do it, you can't do it. You can't jump from a 10th floor building. That one, you don't say, let me see what I can do. You know you can't jump. You say, no, I can't. And you shouldn't jump because that's not right. But if somebody tell you, for example, do this, or help me with this, you try. But when you see yourself that you're getting tired and this, that's it, you stop. You stop, you do your best. But the thing that you were commanded to stay away from, you stay away from. You don't need to put any effort to stay away from something. If he says, I'm going to go here, then to the best of your ability, because you have to go there, you may need money, you may need a ride. But if you say, I'm not going there, do you need a ride not to go there? No, you just stay. Also, we are limited in our worship of Allah to only that which the Prophet ﷺ legislated. Okay? When it comes to worshiping Allah, what this statement means is that when it comes to worshiping Allah, we shouldn't be creative. It's not permissible for us to just think about how we're going to worship Allah. La. Rather, we should learn what the Prophet ﷺ left for us. Because he was sent to teach mankind how to worship Allah correctly. So if somebody don't know, they should learn, and they shouldn't act upon anything without knowledge. That's not good, and that's wrong. You can be creative in, I don't know, you want to cook something and you can listen, if I add this, we'll see what happens. I'm going to put less of this, see what's going to happen. But you cannot add in the religion of Allah and see how what's going to happen. And you cannot take anything away from the religion of Allah and say, let me see what's going to happen. No. Like I told you, that's in the dunya, yes, you can do that. Like you wanna you cook on this cake, because a human being gave you that recipe for that cake. But then when you cooked it, maybe you says, okay, let me see, I'm gonna put a little bit more eggs to see how it's gonna look. Or I'm gonna take less sugar to see how that cake's gonna taste. That's okay, you can do that, no problem. But you cannot say, I'm gonna add one rak'ah to Fajr. People praying two, now I'm gonna pray three, see, maybe I'm gonna be better. Cannot be better. Just cannot be better, because the only way we worship Allah, and we're limited to this. This is an obligation, this is a command. We worship Allah only by following that which the Prophet ﷺ left for us. It is very important. The Prophet ﷺ said, "من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد." When one does an action that is not upon our matter, then it is rejected. This is a hadith that is collected by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers رضي الله عنها. من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. If anybody does any action of force but is not in accordance to what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was upon and left for us, he will be rejected. Subhanallah, Allah does not accept it. Amira. It will not be accepted. Can you imagine some person doing a lot of things but never try to learn if this is what the Prophet ﷺ was upon? Is this is what the Prophet ﷺ left for us? And they continue to pray, make dua, this, many deeds. For other people, oh, that person is doing a lot of things. But then he stands in front of Allah, nothing. Everything rejected, nothing accepted. Why, once again? Muhammad?
It's not according to the
Prophet. Ahsan. It's not according to what the Prophet ﷺ was upon. So we should not just follow people because what they do. Certain people, they see certain people doing something, and they're like, oh, that's nice, look what they're doing, that's interesting. It may be interesting, we're only human, if it's interesting, but you have to investigate. If what those people are doing, and they say this is a relief from the religion, and they doing it to get closer to Allah, then before you follow anybody, you have to investigate, you have to check it. Because the only way that deed gonna get you closer to Allah and get accepted, if it's in accordance with the Sunnah. And of course, if you're sincere, that's very important to remember. That's why the ulama, they said these are the two deeds, the two conditions for the acceptance of the deeds. They have to be sincerely performed for Allah, sincerely for Allah, not for show off and riya. And number two, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from this, somebody may be sincere. Sincerity is an action that only Allah knows. The ulama, the scholars, and from them now, I just remember Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. He says, you cannot talk about the intention, about a person's intention. He says, it is very wrong for somebody to say to somebody else, I know your intention. That's wrong, very wrong. We don't follow intentions. We don't get involved with the people's intentions and tell them, I know your intention, this is wrong. Rather, you just judge according to what the people say and what the people do in front of you, from their actions and statements. As for the intention, that's for Allah. That's why certain people, their intention may be good. They're doing that actions of worship sincerely for Allah, but still gonna be rejected. They're very sincere, they cry and everything, but still gonna be rejected. Why? Because they didn't do it according to the Sunnah. Because they're doing a bid'ah, an innovation. Likewise, another person following the Sunnah correctly, still his action or her action is rejected, because Allah knew that they weren't doing it for Allah. See, they were lacking in ikhlas, in sincerity. So therefore, the importance of learning the religion. Allah is in no need for our actions and our obedience. But whatever we do is only for us. But we have to do it the right way. And the only right way is according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you're doing something according to the sunnah, doesn't matter, you may be the only one doing it. You may be the only one out of hundreds or thousands or even millions. It doesn't matter because you're doing the right job. Certain people, because they don't know these principles, they just go with the majority. They're like, look, they got to be right because all of them doing the same thing. Majority is not always right. Actually, usually it is wrong. And most of times is wrong. The only way the majority could be right if all of those people, they follow in the Sunnah of the Prophet. And of course, that's a beautiful thing to see a lot of people following the Sunnah. That's a beautiful thing indeed. But it's not always indication whenever a lot of people doing something the same way, that they got to be right. No. The only way they are right, if we see if the action they do is in accordance to the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because remember, Islam is a religion, is the religion of Allah, and He sent one man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to all mankind and revealed to him one book, the Quran, and the Sunnah. Of course, the Sunnah is a revelation. And he commanded everybody, the Arabs and the non-Arabs, men and women, black and white, rich and poor, everybody, even including the jinn, the human being and the jinn, to obey this man and to follow him. And that's the only way. There's no other way. So it's very important for you and for all of us to remember this. When it comes to worshiping Allah, we can't just look at what people are doing. No, we follow what Allah tells us and what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us. And there are two pillars of the testimony of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, likewise, there is two pillars of La ilaha illallah, and Nafi wal Ithbat, which negation and affirmation. There is two pillars of Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first pillar, to believe in and accept his message. And to not deny his message. Not to belie him. هو عبد هو رسول لا يكذب. هو عبد لا يعبد. And to believe that he is a slave of Allah. As the ulama, they mentioned the two pillars of La ilaha of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a servant of Allah, so therefore he should not be worshipped. He doesn't deserve to be worshipped. He's a great man, of course, he's the best of mankind, but still we have only one true God, Allah. The Christians, they went wrong. They worshipped Allah, but they worshipped Jesus and His mother along with Allah. Remember the Arabs, the Quraysh, the pagans? They worship Allah, but then they worshipped others with Allah, idols and this and that. Yet, our beloved Prophet ﷺ is the best of mankind. We love him, we respect him, but still, we don't worship him. We don't turn to him and ask him like the deviant of Muslims among the Sufis and the like. They say, oh Muhammad, give me. Oh Muhammad, help me. No, that's haram. The only way we be right is to ask Allah. Some ignorant Muslims or deviants, they go to the Hajj or Umrah, and when they go to the Prophet's Masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there in Medina, and then they face the grave and stay saying, "Oh Muhammad, oh Ya Rasulullah, give me this, help me." This is shirk. We ask Allah, because dua is ibadah, dua is an act of worship and should be devoted only for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second pillar is to believe in Him and accept His message. فَهُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يُكَذَّبْ. He is a messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said about himself, إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Indeed, I am only a slave. So say the slave of Allah and His messengers. Not like the Christian. They went too far and say that Jesus is the Son of God. And some of them even say He is God. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And this is wrong, of course. Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, never said to the people these things. And we have ayats in the Quran. It says never, because Allah said to him, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ. Did you say to the people, worship me and my mother beside Allah? He says, no, I didn't say that. Had I said it, you know it, O Allah. But I said to them that which you commanded me to say to them. Worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. But see, people, they are ignorant. Some other people, they have bad intentions. They do things for different reasons. And they change the religion of the ignorance. But those that Allah wants good for them, alhamdulillah, they always remember these principles. I'm not going to worship Allah except with what Allah revealed. So if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this about himself, indeed I am only a slave of Allah, so say the slave of Allah and His Messenger. Therefore he is not to be raised above his status, nor are we to attribute to him any of the qualities that solely belong to Allah, such as knowledge of the unseen, the ability of harm or benefit, the ability to remove hardship from the afflicted. In the most important occasions and contexts, Allah described him as being his slave. Number one, in regard to the revelation of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion of right and wrong, meaning this Quran, to his slave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a great position. And this is Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse number 1. In relation to the night journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi. Glorified and exalted is he, meaning Allah, who took his slave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a journey by night. This is Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse number 1. And also another example in relation to prayer and supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ. And when the slave of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stood up invoking in prayer to him, invoking Allah. Yes, in Surah Al-Jinn, chapter 72, verse 19. And also another example in the context of Allah being sufficient for him as his protector and guardian. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Is not Allah sufficient for his slave? And that's Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 36. Sheikh, he says, indeed Allah honored the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he granted him many noble and wonderful characteristics. Characteristics through which Allah raised him in status and significance in relation to the rest of creation. Some of the ways in which Allah distinguished him are listed as follows. Number one, Allah mentioned him among the elite group of prophets, Ulul Azm. Prophets who were inspired by Allah Almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وأوحينا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وعيسى وأيوب ويونس وهارون وسليمان وآتينا داود زبورا. Verily we have inspired you as we inspired Nuh, meaning we revealed to you the revelation. We sent to you the revelation. As we inspired Nuh and the prophets after him. We also inspired Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, and Al-Asbat. They are the 12 sons of Yaqub, Al-Asbat. Isa, Ayyub, Yunus, Harun, and Sulaiman. And to Dawood we gave the Zabur. This is the verse 163 in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4. Number two, he is the last of the prophets. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last and the end of the prophets. The Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse number 40. Number three is that he is the first of the Muslims, those who submit themselves to Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni umirtu an akuna awwala man aslam. Verily I am commanded to be the first of those who submit themselves to Allah as Muslims. Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 14. Number four, we should appreciate his high ranking when we learn that he is closer to the believers than their own selves are, and that his wives are their mothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves are, and his wives are their believers' mothers as regards respect and marriage. And blood relations among each other have closer personal ties in the decree of Allah. Number five, on the day of gathering, the Prophet will have special rights from Allah to intercede for Muslims. He is the Prophet of Mercy, the best of creation. The general nature of his message is meant for both mankind and jinn. He is the chief of the children of Adam, and he is the Prophet of Islam, sent to all mankind. So in a brief summary to what we took today, we start by the two pillars of La ilaha illallah, and Nafi wal Ithbat, negation and affirmation. No one deserves to be worshipped that's negation, except Allah, that's affirmation. This teach us that only Allah is the true God. So it doesn't matter what the people say, anything else, we don't have to say, well, wait a minute, tell me about your God, what does he do? No, we don't. If somebody say, I worship Allah, alhamdulillah, we say, okay, mashallah, you're good, because that's what we worship. If somebody say, hey, they worship the moon, but they want to try to say, no, it's good, the moon, said, listen, illallah, brother, illallah. And we read to you some of the ayats that mention in the Quran that contains these two pillars, the negation and affirmation. Also, we learned today, alhamdulillah, the meaning of Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, that we obey him in all what he commands, and we accept all what he informs us to be true, because he only talks on behalf, or actually by way of revelation. And we stay away from all the things he commands us to stay away from, and we worship Allah only by what he left for us. But we have to learn how we're going to worship Allah by what the Prophet ﷺ left if we don't know what it is. So therefore it's important for us to learn what the Prophet ﷺ was upon. And also we learned in this class the two pillars of Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Those two pillars, that he is a servant of Allah, so therefore he cannot be raised above his status. Like some ignorant, they give him some attributes that are only for Allah. They call upon him, they turn to him in times of difficulty, they ask him for children, this, no, that's only for Allah. And he himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, I am only a slave of Allah. So if he is a slave of Allah, we should not ask him things that we should ask only Allah. And the second pillar, that he is the messenger of Allah, mean anything he tells us, we accept it. He's not bringing stuff from himself. He's just bringing his things from Allah. I give you an example. The mailman, he brings letters from who? From himself? You think the mailman goes and write letters and put them in an envelope and bring them in the morning? No. That's not his job. His job is just to bring you letters. If you have a bad letter, are you gonna like argue with the mailman, say, why you bring me this? No. That's his job. They tell him, deliver, he deliver. Our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was his job, to deliver the message of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't add anything from himself, or hide, or keep anything hidden. No, he has conveyed the message sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة. طيب. So inshallah ta'ala, next class, which is tomorrow inshallah, we will continue. And we will do the, we'll start by the conditions of La ilaha illallah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.